This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a message about witnessing. We've turned the term witnessing into a technical term, and you need to take a class in witnessing. You need to read 2 or 3 books on witnessing before you can do it. And I just want to read to you the Doubleday Dictionary's definition of a witness. A witness is a person who has seen or knows something and is therefore competent to give evidence concerning it. That's all it is. A witness is a person who has seen or knows something and is therefore competent to give evidence concerning it. A witness for Christ is somebody who has seen something happen in his or her life. They know something or someone in their life, and that's what a witness is. God bless you as you listen to part one today and then all this week on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. Well, I'm beginning by talking about a survey of waiters and waitresses that was done years ago. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever worked as a waiter or waitress? Here's the survey that was done years ago. Survey was done, and one of the questions that was asked, what is the meal that you enjoy serving the least during the course of a week? Some of you are ahead of me, you know where this is going, but a number of folks, men and women, waiters and waitresses, put down on the survey that the meal they like serving the least was Sunday lunch for the church crowd. They were asked why. Here's what the survey said. Because those people, by and large, were the most demanding. It better be here when I want it, and it better be right. And they were the least generous with their tips. And several of the waiters and waitresses, many of them said, we just dread Sunday lunch for the church crowd. Now, I don't know if that's true now. I don't know if it's true last year, whatever, but that's what I saw several years ago, the result of that. And the person who was commenting on this survey made this suggestion. If you're going to go to a restaurant after church, he said, you need to disguise yourself. What you need to do if you dress up, and some people do, some people don't nowadays, but he said, go home, change clothes, dress down. Number two, go to McDonald's or Burger King so you don't have to worry about the tip. But then he said, thirdly, don't pray before your meal. That's a dead giveaway. So just be a pagan and just go ahead and eat your food like everybody else. He said that tongue-in-cheek, but he made his point. He made his point. Listen carefully to the most important thing I'm going to say today. You don't take a course in witnessing to be a witness as a Christian. If people know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? You witness every day. You're a witness every day by the way you talk to people, by the way you interact with people, by the way you laugh, what jokes you laugh at. If people know that you're a Christian, they know you're a believer, I've got news for you. You don't need to take a class in witnessing. You already do it every day. We all do. And witnessing is simply reflecting what's going on in our life as a believer in Jesus Christ. A witness is somebody who has heard something, seen something, or experienced something. That's the definition of a witness. You heard something, you saw something, or you experienced something. The definition of a witness for a Christian, I've heard something. I've heard the good news. I've seen something. My life has changed, and I've experienced something. It's called the grace of God in my life, and I want to share that with other people. That's what it means to be a witness. It's not that complicated, and you don't need to go to a 6-week course in witnessing. I think you can benefit from what we're going to share today from the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
And we'll actually begin tomorrow's program with the reading of the text from 1 Corinthians 9. A message about what it means to be a witness for Christ. The title is, It's Not That Complicated, because it really isn't. You witness about who you are by everything you do and everything you say. Our website is crosshope.org.
Paul said, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those not having the law, meaning the Old Testament law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law,
so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel. Rhetorical question. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anyone. I'm just asking a question to provoke thinking. What do you do for the sake of the gospel? Some of you are parents and you do things for the sake of your son or daughter's school. That's good. Some of you are involved in soccer. You're involved in baseball. You're involved in football. And you do things for the sake of your team. That's great. Some of you do things for the sake of your employer. You do things for the sake of a neighbor. You do things for the sake of the family. And all I'm asking is a rhetorical question. What have you done in the last year for the sake of the kingdom? For the sake of the gospel? And Paul said, I do all this. And he said, what does that mean? He does all of this. Here's the definition of what Paul was saying in these verses. He came alongside people. That's what witnessing is. It's coming alongside a person and said, let me share with you. Find some common ground to talk about. No matter who you meet, find something common that you can talk about. It may be, where are you from? Where'd you go to school? Where do you work? Where did you go to school? All these things are common ground that you can establish rapport with. And establishing common ground is not just something that's nice. I think it's necessary to share with people. Roger Palms was a minister in West Virginia years ago. He said, one day a deacon in the church said, Roger, I want to take you to visit a friend of mine. He's a gun dealer. He lives up in the hills. He needs the Lord in his life, and I just want to take you there. I want you to talk to him, if you will. He walks into the house, and the man's a gun dealer, and the living room is just, all the walls of the living room are covered with stacked guns, just in a row, all around the house. I mean, it's lovely decorating to have weapons, you know, grace your living room, but that's what this man had. They're visiting, and of course, Roger asks him about his selling of guns and so forth. And right in the middle of the conversation, the gun dealer says to Roger, Preacher, do you have a gun? He said, no, I don't. I've thought about doing some hunting while I'm ministering here in West Virginia, but I don't have a gun. The man walked over to one of the walls and he studied his guns for maybe a minute or two, picked up a 16-gauge pump shotgun and said, this is yours, and handed it to him. Roger did exactly what I would have done. He handed it back and said, no, I can't accept that. Man, they went back and forth, you know the routine, handing the gun back. And finally, Roger saw the deacon behind the gun dealer. And he mouthed these words. I'll say it out loud, but he mouthed it to Roger. Take the gun. Take the gun. He took the gun. They got in the car later after the time they had together was over. And the deacon said this to Roger. Roger, you did more to reach that man for Christ by accepting his gun than you realize. I'm looking for someone who's a Corvette dealer to call on, but I haven't met him yet, but maybe that day will come. But you know what I mean. He was relating to the person he was calling upon, talking to, and all I'm saying is find some common ground with somebody.
And with that, we'll continue the message tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. One word, CrossHope. Now then, today, part three of a message we began on Monday from 1 Corinthians 9:19 about witnessing to other people. We're talking about five things that we can do to reach people. The first one was establishing common ground. That's where we left off yesterday. We continue with this second point out of 5 points about witnessing. God bless you as you listen to Cross Hope today.
But you know what I mean. He was relating to the person he was calling upon, talking to, and all I'm saying is find some common ground with somebody. And that's the first step in witnessing to someone about Christ. Find common ground to talk about. Number two, I think this is really important. Avoid a know-it-all attitude. Avoid a know-it-all attitude. Nothing is more offensive to a person who's talking to someone who's having a spiritual conversation, and ministers are guilty of this probably more than anyone else, having a know-it-all attitude. The Lord will do more with your I-know-nothing attitude than he will with a know-it-all attitude. The Lord will do more with a man or woman who says, I don't know how to explain it to you, but I just know my life is not the same since I came to Christ. The Holy Spirit will do far more with that than he will with somebody saying, let me take an hour to explain theology to you. Let me explain to you the history of the scripture. Let me explain to you the book of 1 Corinthians. That doesn't reach people. Avoid a know-it-all attitude. You come to a person in humility. And God will use your humble approach to do more than you would ever do in your pride. Avoid the know-it-all attitude. Number three, make the other person feel comfortable, not intimidated. How do you do that? You know, I have found that when you talk to people, what makes people comfortable is asking simple questions like, where are you from? Where did you grow up? And I do that so much, I do it without even thinking. I'm not making this up. My children will attest to this. I used to make my children so mad. We'd be on an elevator at a hospital, and there'd be a complete stranger standing there, and I'd say, so where are you from? And my boys would say, Dad, why do you do that? That is so stupid that you talk to strangers like that. But I enjoy finding out where people are from, because it's amazing when people tell you where they're from, there's always something common that you can pull from that. But I think it's important to make the other person feel comfortable, not intimidated. I'm moving quickly here. Number four, be sensitive to their story or background. Everybody has a story, including you. You know what your story is? It's your history. It's where you've been spiritually. And it's where you haven't been spiritually. It's been some of the good things that have happened in your life and some of the bad things that have happened in your life. It's been the glorious moments and it's been the tragedy. That's called your story. And I have found that every man, every woman that I've ever met has a story. And you don't get their story the first time you talk to them. Sometimes it takes a while. But sooner or later, most people will share at least part of their story. John, who gave our prayer today, John Spence, he's got a story, believe me. And I don't know all of his story, but some of you do. You know what he's been through during his experiences in the 60s in the Vietnam War, but everybody has a story. Some of you have been through your own war experience in a divorce. Some of you have been through a horrible, hellish experience with an illness of a child, and you've gone through some terrible things, and everybody has a story. We need to be sensitive to people's story and their background. Now, here's the most important point. I'm going to wrap up with this. Number five. Realize the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. Your job is to simply share. The Holy Spirit of God takes what you say and what I say, and he's the one who does the convicting. Now, here's the most important point. I'm going to wrap up with this. Number five, realize the Holy Spirit's job is to convict. Your job is to simply share. The Holy Spirit of God takes what you say and what I say, and he's the one who does the convicting. It's not your job and it's not my job to convict anybody of sin or convict anybody into believing Jesus Christ. That'll take a load off somebody today to hear that. It's not your responsibility to make your brother-in-law feel guilty for the jerk he's been for the last 5 years. That's not your job. It's not your job to witness to somebody and set them straight and tell them how terrible they've been, just like it's not somebody else's job to do that with you or with me. We just share, and the Holy Spirit takes what we share, and he multiplies it. You've heard me say it before, but I really believe it's true. If there's any miracle that happens with preaching, it's not in the delivery, it's in the reception. That's not just a play on words. I really believe that. It's not what's shared, it's how it's received. And God can take whatever we do, however good, however bad, however impressive or unimpressive it is, and God takes what we do, and the miracle is what the Holy Spirit does with what we say. Luigi Tarisio was found dead one morning with hardly a comfort in his home, but when they went through his belongings, they found, get this, 246 exquisite violins. I mean, very expensive violins, 246. Which he'd been collecting all his life. They were crammed into an attic. The best of them were in a bottom drawer of an old rickety bureau. In his devotion to the violin, he had unfortunately done something. He'd robbed the world of all the music because those violins were never played, including he had a Stradivarius. If you know anything about violins, he had a Stradivarius that was 147 years old. And get this, nobody ever played it for 147 years. It was passed from owner to owner, and he ended up with it. And the thought occurred to me, think of all the music that could have been shared from those violins, but they weren't because somebody treasured the violin so much, I'm not going to let anybody play this violin. I think you know where I'm going with that illustration. You have good news in your life. It's called Jesus Christ forgave you. He forgave you of the sin in your life, just as he forgave me of the sin in my life. That's good news. And there's good news that God has a plan for my life, and it includes some point, some juncture in my life where I say yes to Jesus Christ and say, I do believe that he is who he claimed to be. I do accept him as the Lord of my life. And that's what witnessing is. You think it's a tragedy that a man would have a Stradivarius that hadn't been played for 147 years? That's nothing compared to a man or woman who's been changed by the grace of God, and get this, who keeps his or her mouth shut. That's a tragedy. That is a tragedy. We're simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread.
Well, normally at this part of the program, we tell you to listen to crosshope.org on our website to listen to any program you may have missed, and we want you to do that, of course. But I want to mention a couple other things. Rarely do I mention the fact that you can find us on iTunes. Simply type in the word CrossHope in the search line on iTunes to find our podcast. That's an important ministry for some people. You can watch visual stories, which simply means we take stories that we showcase on CrossHope and put them in a video format. At least see one or two just to get the gist of what we're talking about. Also, I want to mention an important thing, that we are listener supported. We don't have a giant foundation that backs us. We're supported by people like you who help in this ministry called crosshope.org.
And there's good news that God has a plan for my life, and it includes some point, some juncture in my life where I say yes to Jesus Christ and say, I do believe that he is who he claimed to be. I do accept him as the Lord of my life. And that's what witnessing is. You think it's a tragedy that a man would have a Stradivarius that hadn't been played for 147 years? That's nothing compared to a man or woman who's been changed by the grace of God, and get this, who keeps his or her mouth shut. That's a tragedy. That is a tragedy. We're simply one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I don't know if any of you remember a man by the name of Harold Morris. He wrote a book called Twice Pardoned. Harold Morris was from Georgia. He was sent to prison for a murder that he did not commit. Some of you know the details of that story better than I can recall them. I just know he went to prison for a murder that he didn't commit and eventually was exonerated and pardoned by the governor of Georgia. While he was in prison, he was taking what's called a witnessing course from some church organization where he had work that he did. He filled out and sent it back, because when you're in prison, you don't go to class, obviously, like you do outside of prison. But one of the assignments in the material that he was given was he had to witness to several people in where he was. And when you're a prisoner, guess who you witness to? It's either a guard or a prisoner. And Harold Morris decided to pick the roughest guy in the prison. His nickname was Railroad. He had a railroad-type scar that went from the top of his right ear down to the end of his mouth. Hence the nickname Railroad. The meanest, baddest guy in the prison, a murderer. And so he went to visit him in his cell, and he said, Railroad, I'm taking this course in witnessing, and I've got to ask you some questions. And the first question, he doesn't even look up at him. He's just got his pencil. He said, Railroad, are you a Christian? He said, Railroad said, what did you say? Like he'd said something vile. He said, are you a Christian? He said, I'll just put down no. And then he checked no very quickly. But over a period of about a half hour to 45 minutes, one question led to another. One answer led to another answer. And much shock to Harold Morris, the last question was this: Railroad, do you think you would want to accept Jesus Christ into your life to forgive you of your sins? and to give you a new start on life. And I don't remember the exact wording. And Harold expected Railroad to say, no way, get out of here. And Railroad looked at him with a tear in his eye and said, Harold, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. I don't know what happened to Railroad. I don't have some great story to tell you that he became an evangelist, you know, and travels the country. He's still in prison, I'm sure. But let me tell you what that's an example of. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. One hopeless person telling another hopeless person, here's where you find hope. One unlovable person telling another unlovable person, here's where you find love. It's in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what it means to witness. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I have an announcement to make. You witness every day because of who you are and what you are, how you talk, what you say, how you look at people. Everything we do is a witness. You don't take a course in witnessing because why? You already are a witness. You're somebody who has heard something, you've seen something, and you've experienced something. It's called the grace of God. The grace of God. Let's pray together.
Well, my continual prayer for every listener to Cross Hope is that they have experienced the grace of God. They have seen the change that can happen in their life, not because they got religion, but because they found Christ. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.